Please take your Bibles and turn with me to a few passages today. We're thinking about the Sabbath day, and there's all kinds of different passages that speak about this subject. But first of all, we're going to read the command in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, if you're using the Maroon Bibles, it's on page 75. And as we read through this commandment from verse 8, you're thinking about these things. What exactly is the Sabbath? Who all should stop work? Why has God given this day to us? And do you know these things in your own life? Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. This is God's word. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Then if you can turn over with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5, and it's actually the fifth book of the Bible. The fifth book and the fifth chapter. And this is on page 185. Now, this is Moses repeating or rehearsing the commandments to the people. And you'll notice that he uses slightly different words, and he gives us a different reason for observing this day. So Deuteronomy chapter 5 at verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your manservant and your maidservant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Then turn over with me to the prophecy of Isaiah. I just want to read two verses from the end of Isaiah chapter 58. And that's on page 719 of the Bibles. Page 719, Isaiah 58 and verse 13. And Isaiah is saying to his hearers, to his readers, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. And one final passage, the last two verses of Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 at verse 27 on page 970. And the background to this is that the Pharisees have criticized Jesus' disciples for plucking some ears of corn and for eating them. And Jesus' reply at the very end of the chapter is in verse 27. And Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man, that's Jesus' description for himself, is also Lord of the Sabbath. Amen. May God bless to us these readings and also the preaching of his own holy word. Please have your Bibles open at Exodus chapter 20, at this fourth commandment, as we spend some time looking at it together. I just want to preface what I'm going to say by saying this, that some of these things may be hard for you to hear. I'm not trying to get at you. I'm just trying to apply God's word to our lives. I'm not running. Just three words. But they shocked the world. Eric Liddell, Scotland's best athlete, had been chosen to run for the UK in the 1924 Olympics in Paris. As national champion in the 100 yards, they thought he might win a medal in the 100 metres. However, the first round of the 100 metres race was to be run on a Lord's Day. As a Christian, Eric Liddell would not run on the Lord's Day. God had set that day apart for himself, and Eric didn't want to waste it or to ruin it. Some people were very let down by this, but they didn't know Eric. His love for God through faith in Jesus was the most important thing in his life. And because of this love, he wanted to please God, even if that meant missing out on Olympic glory. If you had been in his running shoes, what would you have done? We come today to the fourth commandment, the longest one, and I apologize that today we may spend a bit more time than we normally do, because this is the one that people have fought over the most. Across the world, there is respect for some of the other commandments, like you shall not murder, or you shall not steal. But the same people often show little respect to this commandment. They do as they please on this day. They're not trying to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Instead, they're forgetting the Sabbath day and forgetting to keep it special. You don't find many people like Eric Liddell these days, even Christians. In recent years, many believers have stopped keeping this commandment. And we'll talk a bit more about that part of it this evening, God willing. But for now, let me just ask, if the fourth commandment has lost its meaning, why did God write it down with his own finger on stone, just like the other nine? And why did Jesus say, as we were reading earlier, that he, the Son of Man, is Lord of the Sabbath, if the Sabbath doesn't go on? So I have to work quite hard today to help you understand this commandment. There's much against us, even our own selfish hearts. I'm glad that on the Lord's Day, you have chosen to come to this place of worship. Or it's a place of worship today, it's not during the rest of the week. Now, we don't want to do what we do just because we think it's a good idea. Because we could be wrong. We want to do what we do because we're trying to follow what God has told us, whether other people like it or not. Let me remind you of what Jesus himself thought of this commandment. Just keep your finger in Exodus 20 and turn over with me to those verses from Mark chapter 2. We've seen this before when we were studying Mark, but it is worth looking at again. Just look at Mark chapter 2, verse 27, page 970. Where Jesus says, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." Now that whole saying will repay careful attention. The Pharisees are attacking Jesus and his disciples for doing what they think is wrong on the Sabbath. Now, Jesus could have silenced them by saying something like this: "Now that I have come, there's no more need for the Sabbath, so my disciples can do what they want on this day." But he's not saying that. He doesn't even say that the Sabbath is just for the Jews, and that we can ignore it if we like. He says the Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath was brought in at the very start of the world, and it's meant for all people, everywhere. But note too the way round that he puts it. The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is for our good. It's not meant to be a whole list of rules and regulations to squeeze the life out of you. That's what the Jews had turned the day into. And they invented so many petty rules that they wouldn't even allow Jesus' disciples to pick a handful of corn as they walked through the cornfields. What Jesus is saying at the end of this chapter is the Sabbath is still in place, but it's not meant to be a day that chokes the life out of you. So what then is the Sabbath all about? Let's come back to Exodus 20. And I want to break this down into three parts, basically. First of all, what the Sabbath is. And that's in verse 8. Secondly, the how of the Sabbath, or how we keep the Sabbath. That's in verses 9 and 10. And thirdly, the why of the Sabbath, the reasons God gives for why we keep this command. And actually in verse 11, there are three of them. And just to sum up where we are, the first commandment was about who we worship. We worship the one true God. The second commandment was about how we worship. We worship as God tells us in his word. We don't make up things ourselves. The third commandment, verse 7, was about the name we worship. God's name and God's person are special. And this command is about when we worship. And if you want a title for our study today, it would be The Time God Commands. The Time God Commands. So first of all, the what of the Sabbath. What is the Sabbath? And that's actually just at the top there. That's the Hebrew word, Shabbat, that we get our word Sabbath from. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The most obvious point here is that the Sabbath is a day. It's the earth turning right round until it comes back to where it was originally. And that takes 24 hours. It's not a morning. It's not an hour or a couple of hours. It's a whole day. The Jews measured their Sabbath from 6 o'clock on Friday evening till 6 o'clock on Saturday evening. We measure our day from midnight to midnight. Notice too what God says at the beginning of verse 10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. God wants us to devote a seventh of our time, one whole day every week, to him. If you love someone, you want to spend time with that person. If you love God, he wants you to give him one whole day each week. If you're a believer here today, and I know that many of you are, then your place is here in the morning and at our evening meeting too. I realise that we've recently switched to an evening meeting every other week, but we do want you to go to another evening meeting if ours is not on. I do hope in due course that we'll be able to come back to a meeting in the evening every week again. But really, there shouldn't be any reason apart from illness that should keep you away. If family or friends or even strangers come to you for lunch or for tea on this day, what better place to bring them than to God's people meeting together? Because that'll let them see how serious you are about loving God. And it can only do them good. The second thing to say about the Sabbath is that it's a day of rest. We'll come back to that when we're looking at verse 11. The word Sabbath and the word rest are closely connected. This is the day when we stop, when we cease from all unnecessary work. Schoolwork, college work, our jobs, organized sport. It's not supposed to be a day when we're more strung out than the rest of the week, when we're busier than the rest of the week. And the third thing has to do with the word remember. God isn't starting up a new kind of day here. He's asking us to think back to when he made the world, to when he rested. And he's reminding us too of the manna, the bread from heaven, which fell before they came to Sinai. And God sent that manna every day, except on the Sabbath. And the people had to collect a double portion on the sixth day. This day is rooted in creation. It's anchored in our very beings. To ignore it is to ignore our own well-being. And remembering it doesn't just have to do with your mind. There was one year when I remembered my wife's birthday, but I didn't get her anything. She had said not to, but I misunderstood her. She'd meant not anything big. She didn't mean not anything at all. Remembering must be backed up with action. So that's what the Sabbath is. It's a full day when we rest and when we remember God. God also tells us then in verses 9 and 10 how to keep this day. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter nor your manservant nor your maidservant nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within your gates. And this is really a mandate for free people. Just to let you see something of what this is saying. The how of the Sabbath. And those pictures at the bottom show who this actually applies to. It applies to your family. It applies to your servants, if you have servants, because this was spoken to the heads of families. It applies to your animals, and even applies to people you don't know, the stranger within your gates. And this must have come like a breath of fresh air to slaves just released from the Egyptian brick pits. There was no Sabbath in Egypt under Pharaoh. But God knows that we need a break. And this pattern in verse 9 sets us a rhythm of work and rest. 6 days of work and one of rest. So really this commandment is talking about the day of rest, but it's also talking about our days of work. We work for God as well as resting in his presence. And maybe your job only requires you to work for 5 days. Perhaps some work around the house or in the garden is in order on the sixth day. But this commandment requires us to be well enough organized to take a whole day off. No ironing to do. No housework. It's not great, ladies. No office work. No school work. The Sabbath, the Lord's Day, is like a little oasis at the start of the week. Unless you're involved in what I would call health and safety. Looking after the sick, keeping essential services going, milking cows that can't wait till tomorrow. And do you see how far this goes in verse 10? God lists seven different groups of those who should have a day off. Sons, daughters, manservants, maidservants, oxen, donkeys, strangers. It goes beyond our families to those who work for us, to animals, and even to strangers we don't know. The whole of society is supposed to benefit from this day of rest. We shouldn't make other people work on this day when they don't have to. That involves not going to the shops, not taking planes or trains or buses if we can avoid it, not eating out and expecting others to break their Sabbath to serve us. Just imagine how much freer, how much happier our whole society would be if everyone took this day off, like Christmas Day every week. What the Sabbath is and how we keep it. The what of the Sabbath, the how of the Sabbath. And we come now to the why of the Sabbath in verse 11. The why of the Sabbath. And that's a picture of a reservoir, and we'll come to why that picture is on there as we proceed. The why of the Sabbath. Let's look at verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. A lady once approached the great Methodist preacher John Wesley and asked him if she should go to the theatre on the Lord's Day. Now, he didn't answer exactly what she was asking, but he said this: "Madam, you need only ask, what is the purpose of the Sabbath?" And I think we have so many problems with the Lord's Day because we don't ask that question, because we're not clear in our minds what the purpose of the day is, because we want to please ourselves, not God. And that's why in this verse, God spells out for us the purpose of the Sabbath, the reasons for keeping it. And there are three reasons. The first reason is that God rested on the Sabbath. And you notice quite a staggering thing here. God wants us to rest, not just because we need that rest, but because he wants us to copy him. In 6 days, he made the universe, and on the seventh day, he rested. Do you ever wonder why God did that? He didn't have to do it that way. He could have made the universe in 6 hours, or in 6 minutes, or like that, the whole universe. He's that powerful. But he chose to make it in 6 days to give us a pattern for our lives. We rest because he rested first. In other words, it's a godly thing to do. You don't have to think badly about yourself because you're having a day of rest. It's what God did. Now, that doesn't mean lazing around the whole day. What did God do on that seventh day? He stopped creating. He stood back from all his work. And he studied it carefully. He was satisfied. He saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Every feather on every bird, every blade of grass in place, every atom in the ocean just where it was meant to be. Perfect. Finished. And that's what God wants us to do on this day. Every week this day comes round to remind us that we haven't made the world, that we depend on God. The Sabbath tells us that every week. God wants us to rest, to think about his world, to remember that he made it and that he's in charge. If you are His today, then He knows what you need. He will provide what you need even when you're not working. He will care for you. What a great thing to be able to rest like that on God's day. To relax in God's arms. There's another reason we can rest. If you're sharp, you may be wondering about all this talk to do with the seventh day. Surely today isn't the seventh day. This is the first day of the week. And that's where we need to look at the other recording of the commandments in Deuteronomy. So again, keep your finger in Exodus and look over to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Did you notice there the different reason given for keeping the day? Page 185. If you look at verse 15, Moses says, "Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." And Moses isn't talking there about God's creating. He's talking there about God's delivering His people from slavery in Egypt. Deliverance through the blood of a lamb. And hundreds of years later, the blood of the final Lamb of God would be shed as Jesus was crucified. So if you want to put it like this, on the seventh day of the first week ever, God rested and said, "It's finished. The work of creation is finished." And as Jesus hung there between heaven and earth, He cried out, "It is finished," just before He died. "The work of salvation is finished. All the sins of my people have been paid for." And to show that that was true, God raised Him from the dead on the first day of the week. And Jesus appeared to His disciples on the first day of the week. And Jesus appeared to Thomas on the first day of the following week. The disciples began to meet for worship on the first day of the week, because on that day, they knew that their slavery to sin was over. And now, as believers in Christ, we don't work for 6 days first and then rest. We start with the rest that Jesus has won for us on the first day, and then we go out to work to show Him that we love Him for what He's done for us. And you can only worship Him properly if that's true for you. If you have seen, if you have said that sin has made you a slave, if you have seen that Jesus has died to set you free, and that He rose again so that you might go to heaven, if you have given your life, sin and all, into His hands, only then will you want to worship Him on His day as He wants you to. So let's come back again to Exodus 20. To do with the rest, this day reminds us that the world was made by God and that God rested. It reminds us that God's people have been bought back by Jesus. That we praise God for salvation as well. And it reminds us that the world is going somewhere. This world is not the only one. There's a new heavens and a new earth coming. And those are for those who are resting on the life and death of Jesus for them. Is that you today? For all such, there is a Sabbath rest in God's presence forever. So that's the first reason for keeping the day, to do with God's rest. The second reason we should remember the Sabbath comes later on in verse 11. "Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day." God blessed the Sabbath. This is a special day of God's blessing. It's the only day for which God has a special name in the Bible. And I think it's a trick of Satan to get us to use another name for a thing that God made, the sun, calling it Sunday, rather than calling it the Lord's Day. Why not use the biblical words? Lord's Day, Sabbath Day. And God has blessings stored up for those who keep his day. But in order to keep his day, you have to rate him, to count him worthy. Rate him above yourself, rate him above everybody. And do what he wants, even if that clashes with what you want. And again, that's like marriage. In marriage, you're saying that this man or this woman is more important to me than anybody else. I will take note of what she wants, of what he needs, more than my own needs. Well, being a Christian is wanting to do what Christ wants. First of all, you believe that he has died for you, and you want to live for him. And that's the way to rich blessing. Look again at that passage from Isaiah that we read earlier, Isaiah 58. You could really preach a sermon on these two verses alone. Page 719, Isaiah 58. Let me just read those verses again. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. In other words, if you put God, if you put Jesus before yourself and keep his day as he wants you to, he will bless you. Do you see the blessings that are promised there in verse 14? And this day above all days is the day when you can learn more about him. Maybe you say things like this to yourself during the week. I'm so busy. I would love to read more of the Bible. I would love to spend more time in prayer. I would love to spend more time meeting God's people. Well, God's given us a whole day to do these things. When you can meet God's people, when you can be strengthened and refreshed and changed, this is where the reservoir comes in. God has put this day there as a reservoir for us to draw off from it, from his power, from his grace. And the Sabbath day is like a pipe bringing the water from the reservoir into our lives. And this day gives the believer joy. As Isaiah is saying here, it raises your whole life up to a higher level. It provides a feast of good things. Let me ask you, do you enjoy this day of the week, the Lord's Day? Do you look forward to this day? What's God going to teach me today? How is he going to lift me up? How can I understand more what the heritage of Jacob means? Do you remember past Lord's days with joy? That's a test of where you are with God. Because if you don't call the Sabbath a delight, and do you really know him at all? Let's come back one last time to Exodus 20. God rested on the Sabbath day. That's one reason for keeping it. God blessed the Sabbath day. That's another reason for keeping it, that we may be blessed. And finally, the very last part. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it and made it holy. This is a holy day. Holy means separate, set apart. The ground near the burning bush was holy because God was there. Moses wasn't to walk over it like the other ground. He had to take off his sandals. And God has made this day to be separate from all other days. We stop working on this day. There are certain things we don't do. And we come together to worship God, to tell him how good he is, to learn from him. There are different things that we do do. Books we read, special plates maybe for the table for the Lord's Day, special toys for the children to make the day special, people we spend time with. God has set this day apart from all the rest so that you can get to know him and to love him. Is that what you're doing? Or are you missing out on his blessing by treating this day too much like all the rest? Let me finish by taking you back to Eric Liddell. He didn't run on the Lord's Day in spite of all the pressure. But he did run in the 400 metres, not the 100 metres, a race he had never really trained for. And he reached the final. On the morning of the final, one of the British team staff handed him a note with these words on it. In the old book it says, "He who honours me, I will honour." That's a quotation from the book of Samuel. "Wishing you the best of success always." Eric Liddell did run that day, and he won the gold medal. I'm not saying that if you keep God's day special, that you're going to win a gold medal. But if you count God and his day of more value than all the world can offer, I am saying that you will never be on the losing side. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Do you? Let's stand and pray together. Our Father, you know that by nature we are unholy. Even when you bring us to yourself, you know that we still want to find excuses to avoid this command. Lord, help us to see that we can't keep it on our own, that we wouldn't even want to. Help us to see that if our unholiness is dealt with, then we will want to keep your commands, because we love you as children love their father. You only command what is for our good. Lord, if you have been speaking to us about not keeping your day properly, then help us to change our ways so that you may be pleased, so that we may be blessed, so that other people may notice that we are different because we do keep this day for you. Lord, if we're not yet trusting in you, we pray that you would help us to get that sorted out first, so that we may know that Jesus is our Savior, and so that we may want to keep your commands because we have come to love him. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. We close our service by singing part of Psalm 118 on page 291. We're going to sing from the top of the page, stanza 12 to stanza 16, to the tune Spore 163. And as you sing these words, think of Jesus singing them. Jesus is in all the Psalms. And stanza 11, which we're not singing, is talking of, it would really have been a great confidence boost to Jesus. Jesus is facing his death. They sang this psalm probably in the upper room before his arrest. And stanza 11 is saying, "I will not die." He was going to die, but he wouldn't stay dead. Stanzas 12 and 13 are talking about the gates of righteousness. He would bring righteousness to others through his death. Look at stanza 14. That stone is made head cornerstone, which builders cast aside. People would reject Jesus, but that was what God had planned in order that he could be our Savior. This is the doing of the Lord, a wonder to our eyes. And then stanza 15 talks of the day. This day the Lord has made. Not just the day of creation, this is the day of salvation. Let us be glad in it with joy. Lord, save, I pray, O Lord. I pray, send my prosperity. This is the day of salvation. This is the day of resurrection. The day of worship of Jesus. And in stanza 16, O blessed is the one who comes. Jesus is coming back. You ready? Psalm 118, stanzas 12 to 16. Let's praise his name.
Righteousness, and so I will give thanks unto the Lord, as through them I will go. This is the Lord's own gate, by it the just will.
Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.